We came to this morning to take the presentation and that presentation of the Central Capital Policy for the 2021 and out.
Achievements, financial report, challenges and recommendations. composition of the CDA. During the event trial, it was comprised of health experts and security experts. It was further now in conferences, it has the nine provincial chapter service forums, and then at the municipality level, it has 238 local election committees. I also need to mention that the CDA is not a public entity, non-government agency. It's a statutory body. Yes, I have government on matters related to social service. CDA, during 2011, it was guided by the National Drug Master Plan, which has 20 years. One, looking into the reduction of supply of substances, and the other one on the demand reduction, and then the third one on the harm caused by substances. The overall goal of the Central Drug Authority was as follows. Goal, measurable reduction in substance abuse impact, reduction in substance abuse and related social issues such as poverty, HIV, AIDS, sex work, crime, etc. And then the outcome that was desired is an improved quality of life through integrated department and provincial drug master plans and reforms. CDA during 2011 has set targets for itself as follows. Review the National Drug Master Plan, and it also intended to improve access to substance abuse information interventions, including treatment. It intended to reduce demand for substance for illicit and illicit substances of abuse, reduce supply of illicit and illicit substances of abuse, reduce harm caused by substances, conduct research, capacity building of service providers, and then focus on the policy and legislation development and implementation. The review of the National Master Plan 2011. The National Drug Master Plan was finalized after consultation with various stakeholders. But Chair, I need to mention that some of the stakeholders were left out, like the social protection platform, which we only met 2 weeks ago to finalize the development of the National Drug Master Plan as a requirement by Chairman's. Improve access to substance abuse information and effective intervention. The National Clearinghouse was established and is currently functional. The resource directory was updated. Chair, we also had the helpline on substance abuse matters, and then it was sustained, and it managed to reach 14,831 people. And then we also had the SMS, which was sustained, and also reached 31,078 people. Increased capacity building to provincial forum members and local drug action committee members. The CDA conducted capacity building workshops in the following provinces: Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Northern Cape, Free State, Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, and Eastern Cape. And then, Chairperson, maybe here I need to mention that it was her request. It's not that the other provinces were intentionally left out. We opened the floor for them to, if they needed our assistance, to call us, and then these are the processes that called us for assistance. And then development of policy and legislation. During 2011, the Department of Health, together with the Department of Trade and Industry, and the Department of Social Development drafted the legislation, the control of marketing of alcohol beverages bill. which is currently on the verge of being signed and presented to cabinet. And then the Department of Health also finalized their detoxification policy. The Department of Social Development finalized and gazetted regulations for F70 of 2008, that is the Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Act. And then, Chairperson, maybe I also need to mention that it has been proclaimed by the President on the 31st of March, and then it has also been promulgated by the Minister of Social Development on the 2nd of April. So it is in force. The Department of Home Affairs developed integrated policy and draft guidelines for combating substance abuse. The Department of Health developed its departmental drug master plan and implemented it. And then the Department of Correctional Services implemented the moral regeneration, close red headlines, and risk 19,468 inmates. It further, the Department of Correctional Services further procured the youth resilience programs and implemented it. 7,000, there was a life orientation program also implemented in correctional centers and it reached 7,290 inmates. Reduce demand for illicit and illicit substance of abuse. Achievements. Department of Basic Education implemented licensed program and reached 105,231 learners. They further developed the national strategy for the prevention and management of substance abuse amongst learners. 10,350 schools were linked to police stations. The Department of Social Development developed the Integrated Anti-Substance Abuse Program of Action based on the resolutions that were made during the 2011 summit, and then started with the implementation of that particular program. They evaluated the Kimoja awareness program to check as to whether the program is still appealing to young people. The department further developed the monitoring and assessment tool for substance abuse services with the intention of starting with the monitoring of substance abuse services throughout the country. The community-based model was implemented in all 9 provinces. The Department of Sport and Recreation implemented anti-doping programs to combat doping in all 86 sporting codes, and they further implemented the registered testing tool program in all the sporting codes. Reduce supply for illicit and illicit substance of abuse. South African police services conducted inspections in 52,940 liquor premises, and then 27,416 illegal premises were closed, and then they confiscated a huge number of liters of alcohol. Here's a figure, I don't know how to call this one, but it was comprised of beer and home-brewed beer. The Department of Trade and Industry also conducted compliance inspections at both provincial and national level. Chairperson, I must acknowledge that in some cases we did not have tangible figures, and then when we were supposed to be having them, as we think this is a gap that we need to allude to in advance, and it needs to be corrected. The Department of Trade and Industry also ensure that the 1% of annual turnover of the liquor industry is set aside for interventions. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development came up with a drug master plan and then also established a drug court in Western Cape. Reduce harm caused by substances. Achievements, Department of Health conducted screening and limited interventions for alcohol use disorders among TB patients, among TB patients and conducted among TB patients and conducted and I think there's a confusion there. But this exercise was done in three health districts at primary health care facilities. The Department of Social Development developed the treatment model and started with the implementation of the model, and then they capacitated that provinces to implement norms and standards for inpatient services, and then they monitored four private treatment centers. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development has a special project to determine the link between HIV and substance abuse in schools. Now I'm moving to the achievements by the provincial substance abuse forums. Supply for illicit and illicit substance of abuse. Achievements, Free State, 1,859 people arrested on drug related crimes, and 63 million grams of Daha was confiscated. 6,800 inspections conducted on liquor outlets, and then 34,404 liters of alcohol confiscated from illegal traders. 182 licensed liquor premises were charged for wrongful doings in the trading. Reduce supply for illicit and illicit substances. Achievements, Western Cape Provincial Liquor Act came into effect and liquor tribunal members were appointed, and then police made 70,000 drug-related arrests. Reduce demand for illicit and illicit substance of abuse. Achievements, Eastern Cape, the Kimoja reached 1,109 young people, and then there were 218 teenage against drug abuse programs established in schools. Free State, they trained 79 master trainers on Kimoja and reached 7,381 learners. And then 1,108 adopted COP programs were implemented in Free State. Reduce demand for illicit and illicit substances. Achievements, 227 educators trained on drug testing. 1,083 school safety committees established in Gauteng, anti-substance abuse strategy developed, 5 regional action committees and 23 local drug action committees sustained. Reduced demand for illicit substances again, achievement for Gauteng, reached 5,592 young people through Kimoja, and then 1,000 people trained on the prevention campaign in Mamelodi and Hammanskraal. Educators from 15 districts capacitated, 5,000 people reached through aftercare programs, and then this other number is too big. 2,900,000. No, it's not 2 million, because there's a million in the street. This figure of people were also reached through the media campaign. 29 million.
2 million.
Two million. Or 2.9 million people reached through media campaign. Reduced for demand of illicit and illicit substance of abuse. Achievements, 800 young people attended future leaders conference in July 2011 and 22 local transition committees established. In Limpopo, 32 local drug action committees were established and 65 members of the local drug action committees trained on effects of drugs. 9 community-based organizations were established and 40 social workers trained on perpetrator prevention and learner support program. They conducted 12 community mobilization campaigns. Still in Limpopo, 27 schools were addressed on issues and facts related to substance abuse. And then there was a youth in Daba and provincial legal conference held in Limpopo. Mpumalanga, 18 local drug action committees and 3 district action committees were sustained. Awareness raising campaigns conducted in 3 districts. Mpumalanga awareness raising conducted in 3 districts and reaching 55,272 learners. Provincial master plan developed and launched. Northern Cape, 20,500 youth campaigns conducted. 248 DSE Department of Social Development personnel capacity development prevention programs and services. Reduce demand for illicit and illicit substances of abuse. Achievements, Northern Cape still continues. 3 non-profit organizations funded 28,111 people reached. 1,656 women workshop on fetal alcohol syndrome in the Northern Cape, Northwest. 60 provincial substance abuse forum members capacitated on aftercare program and 19 oriented on the national drug master plan. 2,500 reached through advocacy program. Still in Northwest, 2,723 people reached through community mobilization campaign. 42,000 people reached through Kimoja program. Western Cape developed a full directory for substance abuse services in each district. Early intervention conducted by Department of Social Development, Department of Health, and Department of Basic Education in the province. Reduce harm caused by substances. Achievements, Free State, 3,628 offenders reached through treatment services, funded 45 non-governmental organizations and 878 service users to receive counseling. 471 service users placed under treatment, capacitated 31 community-based organizations. In Gauteng, they purchased 57 beds from non-profit organization and 653 beneficiaries were treated. Reduce harm caused by illicit and illicit substance from continuous achievements. Housing registered for private treatment centers. In KwaZulu-Natal, they funded 2 inpatient treatment centers and 2 non-governmental organizations funded to render treatment services to children. In Mpumalanga, one private treatment center and 6 and non-profit organizations were subsidized. Still in Mpumalanga, one private treatment center, okay, it's repeating itself. In Northern Cape, they referred 48 people for treatment. Northern Cape, on our chat, it does not have a public treatment center at present. 45 people received outpatient treatment centers, and 45 people received aftercare services. In Western Cape, 2 public treatment centers and 6 private treatment centers were available at during 2011 and sustained. They introduced urine testing for people admitted at treatment centers. In Eastern Cape, they funded 5 treatment centers and 738 patients were admitted. In KwaZulu-Natal, they held a mental health and substance abuse conference. Chairperson, the following is the budget that was allocated to the CDA secretariat during 2011. For compensation of our employees, they were allocated 1.5 million and the expenditure there by the 31st of March was 1.4 million. Under goods and services, they had 3.8 million and then they spent 4.4 million. Under transfer of subsidies, there was nothing. Under capital payments, they had 101,000 and they spent 15,000. Total of voted budget was 5.5 million and then 5.8 million was spent. CDA went through some challenges during 2011-12. One of the challenges that the impact of the CDA and then in particular the National Drug Master Plan was not measured. And then I must say even today it's not yet measured. Challenge number two, CDA had a challenge in getting reports from provincial substance abuse forums as well as the national department. We still need the political buy-in from provinces on matters related to substance abuse. Challenge number four is that whilst we are establishing local drug action committees, sometimes we see some of them being dysfunctional and in some cases going down the drain. Challenge number five, there's a shortage of public treatment centers, but by 2011-12, we had 6, but today we have 7, and then there are still provinces that do not have treatment centers, either private or public. It is recommended that the chair, that the Portfolio Committee on Social Development take note of progress registered by CDA during 2011-12. Thank you.
Maybe I should just check if my colleague Courtney has any additional comments. No, it is not coming. Maybe we will take questions. And
where I come from in Ivory Park, where the huge problem of the drug substance abuse, and again in the road report, there is a very, very, very huge of problem of substance abuse, drug abuse, where the foreigners they are selling drugs like they are selling shit in road report. People of Rotterdam, they called me, I was there, and I was seeing that I tried to say to them, why did you not call police? They said, no. Ma, if we call police, we don't know what happened between police with these drug sailors here. Same like El Dorado Park, where President D was called to go there and resolve the issue of drug abuse in El Dorado Park. If CDA, he knows all these 15 districts, what happened in other districts, because they did not say anything. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. My first question basically should be, I wanted to inquire if any research has been done in terms of your structural impact. But now on your slide 39, you said the impact of the CDA and NGMP in terms of the quality of life in communities has not been measured and it's still not measured. So actually it answered me, but it is interesting to know why, because we cannot have programs that we do not measure, whether they are talking to the needs, you know, or they are talking to what the objective of the CDA is. So why is it not yet measured? Why is there no research done in terms of the impact of your entity, as you alluded on slide 39?
Then my other question is on slide 7. The review
the National Drug Master Plan. Can you tell us more? Why are you saying it's going to be reviewed, or you reviewed it? If you can, you know, just unpack it so that we understand exactly where you are in terms of the plan, because it's very, very important. And anyway, we've alluded to it in the past so many times. And then the last one is on slide 21. Yeah, the special project conducted in terms of the dissemination of the link between HIV and the use of drugs in schools. Can we have the project report? Can you share with us what was the outcome of the research report that was conducted in school? And maybe to also tell us where, which province was this project conducted. Thank you.
All our
started. And then he said, when he started, that there are other provinces that he came to do workshops in other provinces that have been invited to. So what do you do about those? Because I think and then on site, can we get the list of NGOs and NGOs that you have funded for oversight purposes and for municipal purposes? And I think there is no, even when you talk about the district, we must get, if you are saying you manage to get 3 districts in order, for how many districts? And then what are those districts? And then the other thing you said is, police manage to
private hospitals or what, if they can just explain there. And the next one is the schools that were linked to police stations on page 14, like Ms. Mafule has asked about. I also wanted to know how were they linked. And maybe if we could give us certain police stations that we could refer to, because like Honorable Father has said, you know, how dare we have a serious problem of Nyaupe. And we've been to, I live not far from Moroka police station, and I have not found any joy when I go there to try and get assistance as far as Nyaupe is concerned in that one police station. Maybe if I could know which police stations are these, especially those that are in Gauteng, then maybe it would help me. And I also want the presenter to explain it a little bit further. I don't understand under achievements, page 20. where it says under Department of Health that TB patients at screening and limited interventions for alcohol use disorders among TB patients was conducted, and patients integrated into three health districts. I just want to understand what are these three health districts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the discourse is a mammoth task, and it requires the passion of all volunteers, various organizations and institutions and community leaders, faith-based organizations, all of that to come to the front. It disturbs me, however, that here that you don't get the accurate or the entire advice from provinces. Yet you are striving, now you're standing on top of the world, and you're shouting you want to eradicate the stress, but your alignment with the provinces in order for the body, you might be late for the early show. What is your plan in order to bring the alignment to ensure that this elaborate program that you're speaking about actually is rolled out and it has added value and impetus? The issue of faith-based organizations, and many of them, Chairperson, play a very, very vital role here, and many of them do an excellent job too. Why are the reluctance, the few numbers? Brazil and Canada, you have two, and you funded two. What are the negative impediments? Is it budget constraints? Because on one hand you say they have done an excellent job, but you are not empowering them. You might be giving them the skill and training. Money maketh the man, money talks the language. What are the challenges in funding more of these organizations? Have you carried out an audit of your programs? Have you did a thorough audit of the programs and analyzed the success rate? Particularly like the drugs that is utilized for the reduction, is it working according to your program, alignment, expectations? Is the drug right? Even if you investigate with international trends. This is very interesting that, you spoke about schools, and I think that is the correct part. But, you have this technicalities of the law and all of these kind of things. The social welfare departments are not directly linked to schools. Whilst you deal with the issue of social workers analyzing, evaluating the extent of addiction amongst shouldn't it be a structure that also is linked to schools so that they could deal with the issue firsthand? The issue between the committal, the child is sent after assessed by the social worker to rehabilitation, and there are some that is actually sent to a court of law, and I think that is termed the committal procedure. Have you analyzed the difference between the assessment of the social work and those that are sent through by court in terms of the program? Kimoja program. Kimoja program, is it working? Are you happy with it? Is it sending a profound message out to the youth? Your success rate. Chairperson, why I say this? During the KZN oversight that we went to, and then we pointed out numerous challenges, and subsequently we had the minister that visited the Newlands Rehabilitation Center, and there's some phenomenal improvements that are taking place at the moment.
So those kind of developments we welcome, like I think the issues about the first phase of development of the infrastructure, 15.9 million is currently on the way. That's just the first phase. So you are dealing with the issue of equipment shortages, shortages of beds in some provinces, whilst you also say that this is lacking in other provinces. How can you uniform this? Because the needs analysis that affect a certain province will have the same impact in other provinces. Lastly, Chairperson, the issue about your related arrests, drug-related arrests. Perhaps maybe you could, you know, people can be arrested in terms of the procedures of court laws, etc. The outcome of those arrests, because one of my colleagues had indicated that people try to beat the system here, and in beating the system, they would send young children to peddle these drugs. So perhaps, whilst you've got all these policies and this legislation that you have in place, the reality on the ground is that the crooks out there will use young children so that they beat the system of the law. And whilst you relate to your 70,000 drug-related arrests, is it not distorted? You know? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a few questions. The first one is to do with the late prohibition of the support. If you, on the last year, you sent a letter was sent to the Speaker apologising for the late submission of the report, and said that the report was attached, but it was only submitted on the 8th of March. Can you give some indication why that was? And what plans have you got in place to ensure that this coming year's report will be presented on time? Have you had negotiations with the departments and the provinces to ensure that their submissions are on time? And why is it that the MCC hasn't submitted a report again, and the National Youth Development Agency? They seem to be entities that are often responsible for not submitting. Then just two technical questions, Chair. The first one is, when we talk about the National Development, the National Drug Master Plan, from 2012 to 16. Is it from the 1st of January or is it from the financial year, the 1st of April? And are the CDA members here today representing the previous board or the current board? Because the previous board is responsible for this report, not the current board. So we have some clarity on that as well. But then just my questions on the presentation and the annual report, which I left in my office, but I've made my notes, it's fine. Can you tell us what the reasons were or are for the National Development Plan not being ready in 2012? Because we're now nearly halfway through 2013 and we still don't have a plan. I know you said you finalised it. National Drug Master Plan, NDMP. But it hasn't been approved yet by Cabinet. I don't know if it's gone to Cabinet yet. So when do you expect it to be finalised? Because we haven't had one. Then if you, on page 84 of the report, to do with KZN in particular, their report is quite strongly worded, particularly to do with the Premier creating his own separate body in sort of opposing the provincial forum. And undermining the forum by encouraging departments not even to attend the meetings. What action have you taken to try and resolve this particular issue as the NDA? On page 8, I think page 8 of this, I'm not quite sure, but anyway, in the report you talk about research, right? I think that's from page 10 to 18 in the annual report, but it's the same research as the previous years. Exactly the same. Same graph, same everything. But then I don't know what the purpose of you repeating information in the annual report was. Because you talk about the search being conducted, but you don't give a date on it, attached to it, I should say.
So it just seems a bit disingenuous there. I've asked that. I understand my budget's been asked. I've asked about that, about labour and MIC. Page 61 of the report, report seems to be in contradiction, where you talk about five rehabilitation centres being assessed, but then you talk about three in the same line. I think it's on page 61. I hope I've got my notes correct. So if you can just give some clarity. And why is it that just generally very few rehabilitation centres are actually assessed? I think you've only assessed four in the whole country for the past year. The cannabis position paper, where is it? In the previous report it said it would be coming this year, in this report it's now coming next year, so where is the cannabis paper and when can we expect that? What are your action steps to ensure that every province actually has a state-run rehabilitation centre? And what steps have you taken? I think we talked about Limpopo, the Northern Cape, and I don't know which other province it was that doesn't have a centre. So if you can just, a state-run centre, if you can talk about that and give us some indication. The draft report in Kimaja on its effectiveness, where is that draft report? When are we going to get it? Talked about that. Yeah. That's all my questions, Chair. The others have been asked. Thank you.
I think on the issue of the treatment centers, any plan in terms of expansion to include other problems?
Evaluated the Kimoja program, what was the outcome of that evaluation? And this monitoring and assessment tool for substance abuse services, you said I think there was community-based rollout in all provinces, so is there continuous presence in terms of that? We know that the CDA is not responsible for substance abuse services in provinces. Sometimes people tend to blur the lines with that in terms of what is the CDA's responsibility. So we want to hold you, we can't hold you accountable and say you have to say it. But I think at some stage we need to have, and the committee do go on oversight and interact with provinces. But maybe we should have some provincial interaction just to establish the extent of substance abuse services, whether it's rehabilitation, prevention, treatment and aftercare and support. Where provinces falling short, I think that is very important. The one concern that I'm having is the fact that not all role players are coming to the party in terms of reporting to a statutory body. So we view that in a very serious light, DJ, that not all stakeholders are reporting. Not just reporting, but also reporting on time. So that is one of the issues that the committee needs to take very seriously when it's going to report to Parliament. I think we should also, as a committee, consider calling the South African Police Services to the committee, just for us to get a bigger picture in terms of the fight against substance abuse, and at a provincial level, but also looking, I think the issue of that Honourable Garber raised with the trust issue with regard to local police in reporting merchants and so on. I think it's a general issue of trust that we need to have engagement with. But also, I think, not just SEPs, but social development as a partner. How do you strengthen that link? With Nayope, we're still waiting on the lab results of what is my Nayope, what is the drug, what is contained, what are the substances, the Kuba. Yeah. I think there should be a joint meeting, something that we need to discuss as a committee with our honourable members of this portfolio committee, and just have a thorough engagement on the fight against substance abuse in our country. Now, when I look at the figures around Kemoja, I get the impression that Kemoja is not optimally implemented in all our schools, because in my opinion there is not one South African school that does not have a drug problem. All our children are at risk, number one, and you will find a child with a substance abuse problem in every school in this country, whether it's at the most exclusive private school, whether it's at the poorest school in this country, you will find children with drug problems, and also being at risk in school, because we know children are selling to children. And we know also in terms of getting the substances into the school, people are also, children are very creative, and the merchants are very creative in terms of that. So that is why, for me, there should be a Kemoja program in every school in this country. I think it's a very important program. I think it's a very effective program. The one concern is we're not taking this program seriously enough. I saw there was a slide on leadership. Can you just go to that slide for me? Leadership training. There was a slide on leadership training. I can't remember which slide it is. Okay, but it's fine. Let's just go back one more slide, 26. It said, no, it's not the show. Let's go back one more slide. No, I saw it and then it was just gone. But okay, let me park it there. In my constituency, we, the people that are selling the chips and the cigarettes to the pupils are also selling the drugs to the pupils. So they stand outside the school gate, but they give the drugs to them through the fence, because you know it's a porter fence. So but when the police come and raid them, the drugs are not there. So obviously, I'm also a strong believer there is some link between the police, not just in general, but there must be with some of the merchants and the police. I can just advise members what I did. I went to the provincial police and said, I need one person I can speak to, just one. And one person the community can call when they know of drug merchants and people selling drugs. But I don't want a local police person, I want a provincial person. And it's working. So people can now tip off the police without fear because a person that is local will also know the other people living in the area. So now they have one person that they call, and that one person will then send people. And that's why we have a success rate of raiding. When people get raided, they actually find the drugs, because no one gets warned in advance. I'll leave it over to the department and the CDA to respond. Yeah, you can also put one mic to the teacher.
I'll come here to check after the response of Connie and the board.
Thanks, honourable members. I will deal with certain questions and then the CDA members will also deal with others that I shall have left. I think in the first instance I need to indicate that members are right when they say we have not evaluated the impact. We need to do a diagnostic review of substance abuse every program countrywide. So I'm happy to indicate to the committee that we've already engaged DPME, Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, so that substance abuse, as they deal with ECD, is one of the programs that they will do diagnostic review. So that will really help us, because obviously in that we'll get an audit of the programs, whether they're working or not working, what are the challenges and how can we move forward to really change the way we do business. But however, this will also require us as a sector to have generic indicators, because currently we don't have generic indicators. That's why this report, because what we rely on is the garbage in that we get from the provinces and the forums. That is why it is confusing the members in terms of the numbers, the thousands and the millions. But if we had crisp indicators, then everybody else in the sector will be working towards that. So I'm happy that the current new board, it was clear for them that they really prioritizing the issue of generic indicators. Because otherwise there's no way you can say in 5 years time, let's do the impact of the national drug master plan if you didn't have indicators. But even the impact, you only do it when you've done your monitoring, and over the time you do impact. You cannot just do it every year. Then the next one that I want to speak to is the issue of nonsense standards that are available to standardize services in treatment and prevention. In the previous legislation, these nonsense standards were not enforceable, but this new legislation really includes nonsense standards in the regulations to ensure that there is enforcement now. So we're hoping that we will be able to take on those facilities that are not compliant, because currently there's disjuncture in each and every province in the way they are running. Some treatment centers are compliant, some are not, and if you go in there, some of them will tell you, yes, nonsense standards are not enforceable. They're just a policy, they're not an act, but now at least we'll be able to take action in terms of ensuring that they comply with nonsense standards. There was a question on 3 and 4 treatment centers. I think around the country by now we have 7 public treatment centers, and by public we mean those that are owned by the state. So in terms of this report of 2011-12, it's because the target for the department that year, it was to visit certain number, which means you see on page 61 where Honorable Waters was asking, and at the end there was monitoring of compliance to 4. It doesn't mean there were 4 or 3. We had at that time in Mpumalanga we had 1 treatment center, Gauteng there's 1, KZN is 2, then Western Cape by that time there were not 3, there were 2. They were 6, now they are 7. Now in terms of the infrastructure, there's a plan in the department, in the infrastructure, to ensure that we have worked out this plan with provinces in preparation for the implementation of this new legislation, because it makes provision that each province must at least have a public treatment center and a public halfway house. Now, the infrastructure plans speak to those key areas. I must say, Limpopo, for instance, they've completed their structure as I speak, but it's not yet operational. However, within the MTF, we are also saying, let the other provinces begin, because building a structure, it, for Limpopo, it took them 2 years just to build the structure. So we're also saying, let the other provinces begin with the allocated, because they cannot get additional, with the allocated funds that they have now. we can submit that plan to the committee if it's required. I also noted that there are some reports that the committee requires from us. Number one, the list of funded NPOs that will be made available to the committee. Then also the Kimoja assessment report. I must say the outcome of the assessment was really interesting because it confirms that, because the young people were interviewed, it confirms that it is still relevant. However, the way Kimoja might not be still appealing to them or say anything. So we need to ensure that we just change the name so that it says they need something punchy, something that will speak to them. But they say the content, because it is based on 5 manuals, they say the content is still relevant, just speak 2 of them, then it will still make a difference as long as we change the punchy name, because they say they want the punchy name that speaks to them. National Drug Master Plan, why we don't have the approved one by now. Yes, it has delayed, but I think one of the reasons that caused the delay was the extensive consultation and the public interest on this piece of work. But however, the cabinet date, I think in the next 2 weeks we're going to cabinet to present it for final approval. Kimoja National Campaign, yes, as much as we've evaluated it, but it's not, members are right, it's not uniformly implemented or implemented properly in provinces. Even the coordination is not that strong. We need to jack up our coordination at national level, and we also need to make sure that it's proper recording or reporting, because that's another challenge. Even the report as it is, it is not consistent, as one honorable member said. So when we move forward, we need to ensure that if we request for reports in the provinces, we have one format, and if province X submit information that is not aligned, we have to return it and make sure that it is aligned, because now we report here, LADC here, we report other things, so it's not aligned. We have noted that challenge. Honorable members and chair, I think the work of the CDA needs to be linked with the work of the Interministerial Committee on Substance Abuse that is currently implementing the program of action that was approved by cabinet. And there's a lot of achievement also that some are in this report and some are not included. So we really need to make sure that moving forward we link the two so that there's great impact, because currently it's seen as it is disjointed, but however some work is included in the work report. I think I can leave the rest to the colleagues. If they need something, I can come back again.
I will report to respond to some of the questions that Ms. Nguman has responded to a lot of them. I'll start with the National Clearing House to say what is it. The National Clearing House is basically a library. It's just that this terminology is used in the this substance abuse environment, but it refers to a library. And then the other issue is relating to the issue of Premier KwaZulu-Natal creating his body. I think we as the Central Drug Authority currently, we've got a responsibility of in our business plan, we are currently developing our business plan, and then in our business plan we have indicated that we have to have roadshows to the provinces with an intention to intensify provincial substance abuse forums and the local drug action committees. And then when we'll be going there, we'll be going there on two issues, main issues, that is the implementation of the new legislation, the Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Act, and then try to explain it, what does it mean to our forums, as well as the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan to say what is required there. And I should think that the province will understand what we are bringing to them. Um, So it also led to the question of ensuring that the provinces do have a buy-in. So things like that will be tabled in the National Drug Master Plan in the cabinet, and then we are expecting to the same pattern to go to provinces, whereby we are expecting the MECs to lead us in this regard to table this the National Drug Master Plan to the provincial cabinet or provincial legislature. The question relating to the when do the National Drug Master Plan start? It starts on 1st of April, and then after 5 years it ends on the 31st of March. And then the other question was whether did this current CDA is answering to the job of the previous CDA. It is true, Honorable Waters, that we find ourselves ready to respond to the work that was done by the previous CDA, and we cannot leave it out without their responding to that. We have taken over. And then there's a question of schools linked to police station. The Department of Basic Education and the SAPS, they've got a program called Adopt a Cop, whereby each and every school is allocated a police officer just to take care of the particular school in terms of ensuring protection of children and ensuring that the drugs are not entering schools. And then that is the intention, the basic intention of this particular program. There was a question leading to the Department of Health regarding the report and the districts where this program is being brought out, and then we will request the Department of Health to give us that report so that we can present it to forward it to the House. There was a question again on the budget saying we're given 101,000 under capital and then we only spend 15,000. I must say that the 101,000 was intended to procure printers, but the department realized that the one printer is too costly. We rather lease those printers, and then when we lease printers, we had surplus that we reported back to the department. So we save money in a way. There was a question of our inconsistency in terms of our workshops not being set in some provinces. I would like to say that there's a work that is being done by provinces, and there's a work that is being done by provincial social service forums together with their stakeholders, and there's a work that is being done by the CDA. So in some cases we find that the provincial social service for a particular year they prioritize certain districts, or you'll find that in the previous year they were already reached some of the districts. It's just that, like Ms. Corinne Umalu indicated, that we did not reflect the target to say for this year this was the target, and I should think that is the route that we should take. There was a question related to the treatment, to say what treatment are you referring to. When we are referring to the treatment here, we are referring to therapeutic treatment, we are not referring, and then in some cases there are issues such as the detoxification that involves medicines. So in some cases we may find that if they are combined, because the detoxification has to happen before a person receives a therapeutic treatment. I should think the issue of Mamelodi and Hamas Kral is also addressed, because it's related to the provincial court of abuse forum. I should think if there's any question that is left out, my colleagues will respond as well.
I think there was a question around the delay of the submission of the annual report and what ways are intended to ensure that this time around the CDA to respond to. And then also the issue of alignment of provincial plans and national plans, I think it's key because it will inform the reporting that I spoke about when I answered the first round of questions. There was also a question about offenders in terms of the treatment they've accessed as to what treatment is that, and also for the 8 people that we referred for treatment from Northern Cape. Well, Northern Cape doesn't have a treatment center, so what they do their assessment and identification and refer to other provinces for inpatient. However, they have outpatient services operating within their province. So that is why for them it's referral, not necessarily them conducting the treatment themselves. So I'll request the member of the committee to just give us a response on that.
Thank you. Just on 2 issues. I guess the issue of the report has already been responded to in that previously there was no specific format or template that the provinces were required to follow in terms of reporting, and I guess we've taken note of that. But that has been since been attended to as one of the plans going forward, that will have a template within which provinces will be required to report, and anything else that they will be reporting into will just be additional. For that purpose. But in terms of the annual report again, I can confirm that the process has already commenced. Provinces have already presented their 2012-2013 plans, which will still be consolidated into an annual report. We are working towards, in terms of the new legislation, completing this process by the end of June, because in terms of the new law, that report should be at least ready by the end of June. So provinces have already presented that and we've got it. Now, I'll also take this liberty perhaps to talk to provincial and national department plans. We have also already requested departments and provinces to submit their plans in line with the NDMP. Be mindful of the fact that it has not yet been approved by cabinet, but just as a build-up to say you can still, using the draft, submit your provincial plans. So that work is in progress. And finally, perhaps the issue of the offenders, I must also just take this liberty coming from that department to indicate that the number that has been reflected in terms of the 3,000 that is reflected for offenders that have gone through the program, it's only in regard to those external service providers in the Free State that do make programs available in the form of education and awareness and so on. So the Free State numbers is only in reflection to those external service providers that are in partnership with correctional services that have then reached that 3,000 number that is being seen in there. And every year what we do is that we also then request them from time to time to tell us how many offenders have they seen and what is the nature of the problem. But I think going forward, again, it will be useful that we specify specifically what was the nature and the kind of progress that they've undertaken. And I show in the new report that would be a lot more specific than it was previously. Thank you.
And honourable members, I just want to respond to one of the questions that I've noted that have not been answered. In particular, the question about the cannabis paper and why it hasn't been finalised yet. The cannabis paper and the review of the cannabis paper was started in, I think, 2003 already. It was then reviewed again in 2009 based on new information that kept coming up. And this is an unfortunate situation that we're finding ourselves in, where there is new evidence all the time about components within cannabis, what the active ingredients are and what the effects are. And what we've seen from international
reporting is that in some instances it's being allowed to be used for medicinal purposes, and on what basis is this information that is coming through relevant to us here in South Africa. As a result of which, we have decided that we are going to review it again. Essentially, the author of the paper has passed away, and therefore the current CDA feels that it needs to be reviewed effectively, and also taking into account the new evidence of different ingredients and the effectiveness, therapeutic values, etc., that need to be taken into account. What I can tell you is that just from a cursory assessment at this point in time, we need to recognize that our situation in South Africa is very, very different to what it is in other parts of the world. If you're looking at the actual active ingredients, we are finding that the THC content, which is the one ingredient which people are suggesting is effective, is very, very different in South Africa to what it is in other parts of the world. And therefore, we need to be sure that what we are talking about is pertinent to our situation and not just taking leads from other countries and from other avenues. So it has to be done and will be done. That is one of the issues that has already been adopted by the research committee of the new Central Drug Authority. So the other one that was also mentioned is in connection with Nyorpe. And if I can just give some insight into that. Nyorpe is not made to a statutory or a standard formula. Any person making Nyorpe can use and include whatever ingredients they want. And this is what creates the problem. This is the reason why it has been so difficult to define what Nyorpe is. We know that one of the most important ingredients is the heroin. The other important ingredient that we always recognize is that there's marijuana as well. But then, depending on where it's being made, they also add other ingredients. So to classify Nyorpe as an illicit substance is not really possible, based on the fact that it's not made to a standard formula. What we know, though, is that it has illicit substances as part of the ingredients. And that in itself should be enough for any prosecution to take place. The MCC were asked to make a recommendation, and the recommendation was it contains illicit substances, and therefore it is itself an illicit substance, irrespective of what else it might contain. And that is going to change from supplier to supplier and manufacturer to manufacturer. So that is the question as far as Nyorpe is concerned. The other question was about LDACs and LADCs. They are synonymous. They are the same thing. So just that we clear that we are talking about the same thing. Just one other point in terms of the clearinghouse. The clearinghouse is available to all members of society in order for them to have evidence of what type of research has been done. This is all placed on the clearinghouse. Any questions that they might have, they will find the answer in the clearinghouse. This is accessible to all parties, and that is the purpose of the clearinghouse, to make information available to the entire population if they are seeking help. If the resource directories, anything like that, all appears on the clearinghouse. And this is something that everybody has access to today. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. I think that concludes the responses from the colleagues. The only comment I wanted to make, maybe two comments, are probably more the strategic issues raised by members, in addition to what Ms. Lumalo has indicated. There's something that came up very, very sharply around the issue of inland assessment, Chair. I think this is very, very important. I do believe that it's not only the issue of drug and substance abuse that has to face this challenge. If you look at all the campaigns that we have undertaken, from HIV and AIDS to what to call it, Arrive Alive. I remember in my 8 days when I joined government, I was running the Masakane campaign on payment for services at local government. Now, the challenges always we face with campaigns is that if you don't do continuous evaluation and assessment to establish, because there are two things that you want to achieve with campaigns. One is to create awareness so that people understand the problem and why you have to
substance or around the issues of payment, as I was indicating, or issues of drinking and driving and so forth. Now, most studies will show that sometimes you could achieve 80% awareness, but yet you still find the behavior not changing. And then you have to deal with other issues other than awareness, which is the change, behavioral change issues. Why are people continuing to pursue the same thing? Now, when I look at the chair and honorable members at the El Dorado Park project, I think there's a number of lessons that we learned in that project. One, I think the most important one was the fact that ownership of this kind of intervention has to be a joint initiative between government and civil society. In El Dorado Park, there are a number of things that were unveiled after the president visited there, one of which is the fact that the vigilance of the mother and also the community leaders and everyone speaking with one voice began to make a very, very positive change in a very, very short space of time. Albeit the fact that you have to pump in a lot of money, I must say, what Chair was thinking about South African Police Service, Department of Education and everybody else, we came together and special, you know, deployments of police were visible, there were roadblocks, there were door-to-door searches, because we know where the drug lords are operating, those lorry lounges, etc., etc. But in most instances, communities are mum about these things, they just keep silent. A number of examples came to fore, for instance, in terms of the operation of syndicates. These drug lords, they actually use the same people who are transporting children to school, you know, to serve the same substances to children. They actually use the same teachers at school to have a linkage of a person who will be. So with community coming together, it became clear that you are able then now to come out in terms of not holding back on these things. So I'm trying to say that this is, for me, a good lesson. Some of the comments made, I think they're very valid to say what has worked, what has not worked. Because future models must be informed by what has worked. And we believe that we're going to learn a lot from the El Dorado project. Because it begins to tell us what makes it effective to make sure that we are succeeding in this fight against this drug. But I think the immediate success for me is the fact that the resilience of communities, immediate action. I know for sure that in the old days, it used to be a scorn, you know, to have a child with drug, I mean, marijuana or something like that. But if we become used to this, so that a pupil found to have marijuana is just one of the normal things, then a society will really beginning to be getting used to these things, which is having a very, very bad outcome. So I think we will be looking into the new drug master plan to ensure also that coordination, because that coordination is very critical. I think one of the members, I think it was Honorable Member Mufolo, if I'm not mistaken, was talking about consistency in the interventions. You find this province does this, the other one does another one, and then we talk to different statistics. What is it that works, and what is it that we need to make sure that we roll out on a national scale so that we can make an impact and align our plans? In fact, the National Drug Central Drug Authority should be positioned enough to be able to do a proper assessment and monitoring of what is being done by each stakeholder, including all the national departments that are critical, as well as the various provincial departments and drug, local drug committees on the ground. The way, just perhaps one or two pointed questions from Honorable Waters, I'm not sure whether colleagues can just point in that. I think it was issues of discrepancy on numbers. I think there were page numbers indicated, like on page 61 of the report, 5 treatment centers versus 3.
I thought the three were the actual progress reported against the target of five, as I was reading the report after we were referring to that one. Yes, the forum that was, I asked Connie to comment on that, or the board, if we have engaged with the province on that particular one to make sure that it is. Oh, by the way, the last one, I think it links to what I said earlier on. There was a comment by Honorable Bula on the faith-based organization, you know, and why do we seem to be having limited cooperation with them, is it money issue or what? I think we've learned a lot in El Dorado again on this one. Working together with formations on the ground, especially the faith-based organizations, and even the differences that they might be having from the religious perspective. With this common objective, we've managed to, for instance, deal with them as a collective, not individual churches like your Christian churches or Muslim churches and so forth. But we were sensitive to a number of issues, for instance, where do we convene meetings? Sometimes we advise that if you go to the particular church premises, it might not other well to other groups and so forth. So we have to manage those dynamics. But again, it points to the issue of involving communities on the ground so that you understand how they need to resolve their own problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Lewis. Again, to report on the issue around Treasure-led Forum. What we saw in KwaZulu-Natal was that the Premier took Act 70 of 2008 into account prior to actually being activated and started,
and formulated a provincial forum based on what the new Act was calling for. The only problem that we have is that in the new Act, the MEC should be appointing the members of the new provincial forum. The Premier in KZN, in wisdom, decided that he was going to appoint the necessary people, and that is a deviation from what the Act itself says. We have pointed this out, and we asked for a meeting with the provincial forum, just to point it out to them that this is the actual process that should have been followed. The previous provincial forum that was in place at the time were very unhappy about the fact that they were being surpassed by the new provincial forum that had been established. But in actual fact, it's now in line with the new Act. So therefore, what they have decided is that they themselves are going to continue the work, and we value that because they were doing very good work, but that they would have to do it under a slightly different guise. But that they're not going to disappear, and that they will cooperate wherever possible with the new provincial structure that is now being put into place. So I think that the relationship between the existing provincial forum and the previous provincial forum has been patched up, and that they will work together. The question, as I said, about the NEC or the Premier having been appointed or making the necessary appointment is just something that we will bring to their attention. But this has been addressed. Thank you.
The first clearing function of the committee is obviously the distribution of the annual reports of the CDA, but we take note of what is said around the stakeholders submitting the reports late, and that's something that is originally needed to discuss. We also take note of your commitment that there will be a better annual reporting plan in terms of moving towards a more unified approach in terms of reporting as the more stringent, especially from stakeholders. The issue of the diagnostic review of substance abuse services. that is welcomed. The fact that as a South African society we are sitting with a huge problem with regard to substance abuse. There's a lot of diverse views on the matter. If I look at the fact that we are huge producers of alcohol, of other substances, we have forests of marijuana or dacha. We know that in the good old days of apartheid, mandrakes was introduced by the security forces, and then the state had its own factories where they produced mandrakes to enslave population. It's almost like the sad story that the Japanese had with China, where they enslaved people with heroin. So we share a terrible history as a country. So you have people who are also paid with alcohol for their services. So you have generations that are enslaved by alcohol, by substance abuse. And how do you, as a country, deal with these issues? Obviously, you'll have to deal with this matter over generations. It's not something that you can wipe out in one generation. And we also have a responsibility to see that the young generation can, first of all, do not use addictive substances. And they are, obviously your prevention and your advocacy should be a priority. That's why I think the issue of Kimoja is extremely important. I think another factor is the fact that stakeholders should operate with each other, and we would like to see more of DG of the around initiatives all over the country. We would also like to see initiatives like that in Ivory Park and in all other places in the country. And I think members should take part, especially members of parliament that are in charge of constituencies, how important it is to have that. So I would like to see, when I see Honourable Makuba the next time, she will say to me, I've been to see Commissioner Petros Gauteng, and he has given me someone that I can work with in my area. You know. It's really important to have that link. Because as a leader in your community, people will also come to you, so you can refer them and you know what is happening. I think the police should also reach out to public representatives, whether it's councillors or members of parliament, even that. But if they don't come to us, we will go to them. That should be our attitude. But we look forward to a more robust engagement with the board. The board has seen our reports to Parliament that we are very serious about the work of the CDA, that the CDA is doing. We do appreciate it. But we hope that it will have more impact. But also that what the committee needs to discuss is the impact of these services in provinces. The issue of the shortage of drug rehabilitation centers is a concern for the committee. I think that also highlighted in my address at the children's conference in Durban. So these issues we will propagate and we will have engagement on a continuous basis. Honourable members, we and the department and the CDA, we have arranged a lunch for 12 o'clock and tea is also outside, so if you could please engage and just network with each other until 12 o'clock, otherwise we're going to have fruitless expenditure. I'm sure members want to get that information. Thank you very much. When we were told that that is an operation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No, finished. The meeting's adjourned. Yeah.
having a solution, I'm not sure this is good enough. How do you switch your script? No, I don't know how to switch. Do you know how to switch your script? You know what?